Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm Jonathan Strickland. I am a host extraordinaire.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and I'm here.
That's true. So every year, Tech Stuff is known for making wild and inaccurate predictions about what's to come in the following 12 months. And this year is no exception, but it's the first time that Lauren Vogelbaum has ever had the honor of participating in our Prediction-O-Rama. And Lauren, because you're brand spanking new to the podcast, you get to go first.
Excellent. I have a long history of being inaccurate, so this is going to be great. I think that in 2013, laptops are going to make a comeback, and desktops are going to continue decline in sales.
Okay, so your prediction essentially is that laptops are going to be fine. They're actually, which is great news for companies that are really putting it all in for ultrabooks.
Sure.
But yeah, but the traditional desktop, the tower and monitor, is kind of not so much a thing.
Not so much a thing anymore. And, I mean, tablets have been really big over the past few years, and everyone's kind of going like, oh, tablets, tablets, tablet sales, more tablets for everybody, seven tablets per child.
She's doing jazz hands, people. It's awesome.
Not Spirit Fingers jazz hands.
That's true.
I think that really people are not ready to give up laptops yet. They are too functional. I mean, tablets are sexy and cool, but they're toys.
Oh, nice. That's a bold statement. My hat is off to you, Vogelbaum. But no, I agree. I agree. I think, particularly these days when, you know, it used to be that hardcore gamers would look down their nose at laptops and say, you know, nothing replaces a desktop. And it's still true that if you want a top of the line, highest performing machine, you're going to go with a desktop. And there are going to be gamers who do that. But there are a lot of gaming laptops out there that are monsters.
Monsters. And just as expensive as your high-end desktop and just as functional.
Yeah. So, I think I'm with you on this one. The laptop sales bouncing back, it's interesting. You know,
based on some of the other predictions we have, I can see that happening. I'll be really curious to see what the numbers are at the end of the year. Similar to that, I actually have a prediction where I said, and this is kind of, this is one of my gimmies. You know, after doing this for a few years, you start going for the easy hits. But one of mine was that mobile web browsing will completely outpace desktop and laptop browsing. So if you were to look at the metrics for any given website, you would see that the majority of traffic was going to come in over mobile devices rather than your traditional computers. And for some websites, that's already true. But I think it's going to become more or less a universal truth across the web.
Yeah, I think that's obvious. I think that enough people are just on their tablets, on their mobile phones. That's
yep.
not gonna. Who has time to turn on a whole computer anymore?
I know. It can take upwards of 14 seconds with some of my computers.
Ridiculous.
I know. All right, so what's your next one?
Like, we're not even living in the incredible future.
Yeah, where's my jetpack?
Speaking of the incredible future, touchscreen party! Touchscreens for everybody! I think that, especially with Windows 8, which Jonathan has some things to say about,
I have heard.
Everyone's dual screen, if those of us who have dual screens, which is people, from what I understand, it's going to be a touchscreen. And stuff like Windows 8 is going to make that easier and more integrated. And so even though perhaps tablets are not going to be the biggest thing to ever big,
the
technology is going to be there.
Beyond the fact that Windows 8 makes it useful, it makes it necessary. I mean, Windows 8 is a great operating system. I genuinely like it. I mean, I've used it, and I genuinely like it. However, I much prefer it with something that has a touchscreen interface.
Because that's what it's built for.
Yeah, when you're in that tiled interface, you want to touch those tiles. I mean, that's why it's designed the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agree with you. I think we're going to see touchscreens integrated into more products. I mean, obviously, with things like tablets and smartphones, that's the user interface that's accepted at this point. I mean, we've got some voice interaction too, but the majority of our commands are going to be through touch. But I think I agree with you. I think we're going to see that as kind of a standard in other products too. I mean, we already have laptops that have touch screens, but I think that's going to become essentially a standard feature in laptops within 2013. And I'm about to head off to the Consumer Electronics Show. I mean, not right now, but in the near future. And it would shock me. In fact, I think this episode will air while I'm there. But it would shock me if I don't see a ton of laptops that have touchscreens integrated directly into them. It just makes sense. All right. Well, then here we go. Here's a Windows 8. You were alluding to the fact that I had something to say about it. I think that enterprises are going to resist adopting Windows 8 quickly. I think it's going to be very similar to the way both consumers and enterprises resisted Windows Vista. You know, a lot of them stuck with XP for mm-hmm. a really long time. I mean, that operating system was 10 years old before a lot of businesses began to look into migrating to something else.
We actually just got onto Windows 7 like a week ago.
Yeah, peek behind the curtain. Some people were lucky and had been on it for a while.
Not your tech stuff hosts.
No,
strangely
no,
enough.
No. We were just upgraded from stone tablets to a computer that can run an operating system, and that's just me being catty. But no, I agree, and I think Windows 7 is. But see, this is another thing. One, I don't think consumers are going to be as reluctant. I think consumers as a whole will be a little more adventurous, and it makes sense because when you're an enterprise, you know, that's a huge expense to upgrade a ton of computers.
And although the economy is getting better, it has not gotten so much better that I think that people are going to, businesses are really going to want to spend the money and time upgrading from something that a lot of us have really only just
started to play with. Yeah, and there's questions of whether or not all of an enterprise's native programs will run on Windows 8. Until you migrate stuff, you don't know, because there's legacy programs that may only run in earlier versions of Windows. I'm sure that some of our listeners are familiar with either institutions or companies or organizations that have specific programs that will not run on anything older than Windows XP, for example.
Right.
So that's an issue. On top of that, not only is it expensive to upgrade across a fleet of computers, you also have to train people on how to use it.
Right.
And that takes time and more money. So even if we were to say that the Windows 8 experience was absolutely perfect for enterprises across the board, even then, this is a gimme, because most companies are going to say, let's wait a while longer until we can be absolutely certain that we can do business as we are accustomed to doing before we migrate to Windows 8. So this is not a knock against the operating system. It's more of, hey, guess what obvious trend I have noticed since I have been alive. So again, kind of shooting fish in a barrel.
I've been on the internet. I've read the news.
Yes, it must be true.
speaking of things that are on the internet, in fact, the Internet of Things.
This is exciting.
This is really exciting. It basically, I mean, if you guys haven't heard of this, it basically means that all of our devices are going to be connected and talking to each other.
Yeah.
And which is, I mean, we can already do most, lots of, I'm not going to say most things, many things, a bunch of stuff from our cell phones. But I think that we're going to start getting the kind of functionality where we can interact with our other, even appliances. I mean things like security systems, mm-hmm. and lighting systems, mm-hmm. and I mean HVAC, like if you're on vacation and you forget to set your
yep.
air conditioning down.
Thank you, Nest.
Just very basic stuff like that.
Yeah, no, we've been seeing little incremental steps toward this. And people who are like the bleeding edge adopters of home automation are probably rolling their eyes.
Oh, no, of course. Yes, apologies to all of you guys. This is all completely old hat as of like March for you.
Right. But for the general public, I mean, home automation is one of those things that like, oh, that's what Bill Gates has. But it's not something that you would necessarily think of. Like I've got friends who are, early adopters. I am not an early adopter. I mean, I'm a tech stuff host and I love technology, but I do not adopt technology as soon as it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
For
I'm
a couple
like
of different
years
reasons.
Behind the curve,
yeah.
Honestly.
One, I'm not filthy rich. And two, I like my technology to work. And so while I'm excited by new things, I often don't adopt them because I don't want to deal with the frustration for when those new things don't work out exactly as they were intended, because sometimes that happens. But over the past few years, we've started to see some technologies that really are bringing us closer to this. And they're not necessarily all integrated together from the get-go, but they work together. So
right.
The Nest thermostat is a perfect example, right?
Yes.
Or the fact that I have a Nexus 7 tablet and I've got Xbox Smart Glass on my tablet, which lets me control my Xbox from the tablet. It also displays extra information based on whatever happens to be playing on my Xbox. I can get more information, sometimes a lot more information, depending on, you know, how well the developer has worked with Smart Glass.
Right.
Those are just tiny examples. Now, the true Internet of Things is going to encompass way more than that. We'll get to a point where we are going to have sensors that are connected to the Internet, and they are taking measurements of all sorts of stuff. So temperature, humidity, mm-hmm. Motion sensors, all this kind of stuff. And they're going to be incorporated into practically everything we come into contact with.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll send information, and it'll be able to let us not only control our environment, but have our environment predict what it should do based upon
what user is in the room.
Exactly. Which is, I've used this argument once before. But if you were to extend this to the science fiction extreme,
right.
It essentially means that one day every single person will have the ability to define his or her reality, because their environment is going to react to their needs, wants, desires, so that we're all going to be moving through a technologically idealized version of reality. Now, that's not to say everything's going to be awesome, because if you remember every single holodeck episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, you know stuff goes wrong.
Sometimes technology doesn't work the way that we want it to.
Sometimes Moriarty comes to life, escapes the holodeck, and takes over the Enterprise. That's all I'm saying. Metaphorically.
Luckily, usually Dixon Hill or somebody is around to take care of this kind of thing.
See? Impressing me, Vogelbaum. All right. Okay, well, let me go ahead and let me do another prediction then.
Yeah.
Here's a prediction. So NFC, near field communication, that's the technology that lets us have devices that can talk to each other when you tap them together. Frequently, we talk about it when you have like a cell phone and a program like Google Wallet that lets you pay for stuff. So like there's a special pad that's next to a cash register. Mm-hmm. And when you tap your phone to the pad,
you just fist bump the pad and it makes it go.
Exactly. Yeah. That's nice. I like that. The fist bump and you pay. And then you've got, you know, the added bonuses of things like coupons or customer rewards programs all integrated into that so that, you know, just by paying using that method, mm-hmm. you reap the benefits.
So that you don't have to, if you forget your wallet at home, you have your smartphone on you. It doesn't matter because A, your rewards card, and B, your money is with you.
Right, right. Exactly. And you don't have to keep track of anything. It's all digital. It's awesome. Yay, everyone's happy. Here's the problem. I do not think 2013 is going to be the year where we see NFC widely adopted yet in the United States.
No.
It's popular in other parts of the world.
Sure.
But in the United States, we're still seeing a very slow adoption rate to this technology, partly because it does require installing a new kind of infrastructure. Usually it's not that huge, but for an individual store.
Oh, sure.
But if you're talking about a franchise of stores across an entire country, that mounts up pretty quickly.
Of course.
So I don't think... and also the other side of this is that NFC would need to be incorporated into way more handsets for it to become an attractive thing for vendors to support. And part of the problem is that Apple has not jumped on the NFC train yet. It may very well be that the next iPhone has NFC. I have not predicted that. It would actually surprise me, but it could happen. But without Apple getting on board, I don't think there's quite enough of a tipping point there for us to see NFC getting rolled out on a broad spectrum across the United States.
Right.
Might see a few stores incorporate it, especially like forward-thinking stores, but
places where it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think that there's. I know. I absolutely think you're right. There's going to be enough resistance from enough sectors.
It's. I mean, I would love to see it get further adoption because I would. Not mind it if it meant that I could carry fewer things.
Maybe that's a thing that if this is not something we had talked about beforehand, but do you think that Apple is going to release a new phone next year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Considering that they've released two iPads this past year, they might release two phones this year.
Release all the things.
Okay. I think there will be a new iPhone. I think there has to be a new iPhone.
Just like an S or a 5S or an actual fax.
Ooh, holding my feet to the fire, Mobile One.
We ask the hard questions at TechStop.
Yes, you really do. Don't let me off the hook. good question. You know what? I think it would be an incremental improvement. The 5, I think, was about as dramatic a departure as far as design goes as we are likely to see this
in the
this
next year.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Johnny Ives up there. Sir Johnny. I'm sorry. Sir Johnny.
Thank you.
Sir Johnny is definitely, he's behind the wheel in design. So it could very well be that he completely revamps it, but that would shock me.
Yeah.
So I do think there will be another iPhone. I don't think it'll be a dramatic departure from what we have right now. It'll probably have things like, you know, again, a faster processor. It'll have maybe an even higher resolution screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the improvements will come from the iOS side, the operating system, as opposed to the hardware. But, we'll see.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Well, I did not write it down, so.
Yeah, that was all on the fly, folks.
Yeah. I'm just going to hide under the table now.
Well, while we're talking about Apple, let's do, I'll do an Apple prediction.
Okay.
All of my predictions, I'm sorry, I wrote everything down very vaguely, so I'm like, I have words, I can read them. I think that Apple's going to hold on to its market share in the cell phone segment.
Okay.
And its market share right at this current moment, as of October, Android had been earlier in the year at 63% of the market share
right.
for smartphones. As of October, it had dropped to 46%. And Apple with the 5 had come up to 48%.
Right.
And I think that Apple's going to maintain that. I could be completely wrong on this one. I feel like this is a strangely bold statement for something so small.
I agree that it's bold. It's a bold statement. The reason why I think that is I think those numbers definitely got a huge boost because there was a new iPhone. And every time there's a new iPhone, we're going to see a spike in adoption. I think the fact that there are so many handset manufacturers out there that are making Android, although we've got something to say about handset manufacturers in a little while, but because there are so many, Android will probably bounce back. But so I'm disagreeing with you a little bit. I think that Android will regain market dominance before much more time passes in 2013. However, assuming that an iPhone 6 or 5S or whatever comes out, that's going to change again.
Yes.
Right? I mean, to me, it's incredible that in the United States, where we usually sign two-year agreements, that people will break them just to get the new iPhone rather than skip a generation and wait for a next one.
Yeah, or even wait 3 months to wait for the next one because it's here and it's new and it's now.
Yeah, it's worse for us Android users, though, folks. I mean, yeah, you iPhone users, yeah, it's bad because you buy
you
one
iPhone
and
users.
I'm looking at you, Lauren. So you iPhone users, and I'm looking at my wife too. Not literally.
Not literally.
She's not in the room. But you know, they complain about how not they. Okay, some iPhone users complain. Lumping them all together. Some iPhone users complain about.
We're all alike.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't. Never mind. So some iPhone users complain about the fact that that a new phone comes out each year, right?
Sure.
It's like, oh, but I just bought one last year. Okay. Look at it from the Android user perspective, where a new phone comes out every week, right? So you go out and you buy the newest brand spanking awesome
shiny thing,
and then something comes out the following week, possibly from the same manufacturer as the one that made the one that you bought just now, and it makes it obsolete. And so we live with that day by day. So
look. It's not our fault. If you would drink the Kool-Aid.
Also, I wish that we had pop filters in front of these microphones because now I feel really badly about what I just did. Sorry, Josh, of Stuff You Should Know, because I know this is the one you sit at. All right, so let me go on to this one while Lauren recovers. So I said that the next version of the Mac operating system and the next version of iOS will bring the two operating systems even closer together. We've already started to see them start to kind of creep in on each other.
Sure.
In that awesome but not creepy way, creep, right?
Yeah, mostly in just the integrated device and desktop, laptop experience.
I think we're going to see a continuation of that, but I think it'll be yet another generation before they become practically identical.
Right.
So... And this is kind of like Apple is taking an approach that's a little bit different from Microsoft, but the end result is the same, which is that you have an operating system that is easily identifiable across a suite of platforms.
Sure.
Whether that's a smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop, or even a desktop. So Apple's going about it this way where they're just slowly getting closer and closer. Microsoft introduced a new operating system and then just applied it across the board.
They're just like, bam, flat, gone, out there.
Two different approaches, but otherwise, it's going to the same goal.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's CONCUR.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, Lauren, so what's your next prediction?
My next prediction. So we've got a bunch of next generation consoles coming out next
Sure.
year. We've got rumors that the Xbox 720
or Durango, as it's currently codenamed,
is going to be coming out, and also a PS4
or the Orbis, as it's currently codenamed.
Of course, the Wii U already came out this year.
As it's codenamed?
Aww.
Oh, come on. The sales have not been as good as they had hoped.
They have not, but I think, I don't know. I do think that it might perk up a little bit for the holiday season, but
sure.
I'm not sure that people are prepared for another new console just right this very second, especially when Xbox and PS3 prices are so low.
I think an Xbox owner, as an Xbox owner who's had the Xbox 360 since it debuted, I think a lot of us are really ready for a new console, but I don't know what the new console would have to make it a must-buy.
Right.
Okay? And the reason why I say that is because, yes, you're going to get faster processors and you're going to get better graphics, but and this is said every single time mm-hmm. there's a new console. But really, I mean, you're like, there's a point where you're like, how much better does it need to be? Like, for me, the graphics aren't really the reason why
you play the games.
I play the games,
sure.
Right. Now, if the graphics are bad, that's bad.
Of course.
But if the graphics are, you know, are decent, then I'm like, well, that's good. But pretty soon that kind of disappears for me. Every now and then you wake up and you're like, whoa, that's a really awesome screen right there. Like, I'm
yeah.
looking at something really amazing, or the cutscene was really effective. But most of the time it just kind of fades into the background and I'm really concentrating on gameplay. But I don't know. I think there are a lot of gamers out there who might really want to get their hands on a new console, especially for the PlayStation folks.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think that come next year especially, and I also don't think that Nintendo is necessarily holding the sector of gaming that are the people who are going to run out and buy something immediately when it's brand new and shiny.
Right. So it's appealing to people who enjoy games, but they don't identify themselves necessarily as a gamer in the
way. The more quote-unquote casual gamer.
Right.
So my prediction for next year is that Xbox is going to continue to sell more
okay.
than PlayStation.
Okay.
In fact, that when the 720 comes out, that it will sell more than the PS4.
Okay.
And that both of those new consoles are going to cannibalize the best awesome bits of Wii U and just kind of beat the pants off of it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Wii U. I want to love you. I love that. I love the
pad.
The pad.
Yeah.
It's terrific.
I got a chance to play with that before the Wii U came out. Brag a lot, man. Brag much? Yeah, I got to play with that at CES 2012. Mm-hmm. And it was a neat way of playing. It made me think of the old Dreamcast where it used to have the LED memory card that you could play a game on, except, of course, way more advanced. I mean, but still, same sort of principle that you have this additional screen that can have more information, like your heads-up display could be on your controller as opposed to the taking up screen landscape.
Right.
That kind of stuff. Or innovative uses, like I think it's Zombie U, where you can use it as like a scope. Like you lift up the controller to the screen.
That's great.
Yeah. I think it's Zombie U that lets you do that. Listeners, feel free to correct me if I am, as I am likely to be, wrong about that.
Please do tell us how wrong we are.
But building on top, and I agree, I think the Xbox, whatever it's called, will outsell whatever the Sony one is called. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be true both for the current generation until we get to the next generation.
Oh, yeah.
And then moving forward, especially in the United States. In Japan, it's probably going to be the flip-flop because we're talking about
traditionally Sony.
That's the way it is.
Of course, sure. And just the range of titles that are released for American versus Japanese consoles.
Yeah, although there's fewer and fewer exclusive titles. I mean, there are some, but Halo and things like that. But although you can find that on PC as well.
Right.
But we also are going to see other consoles jump into competition, and I'm curious to see how this changes things up. Like Valve's Steam Box is likely to debut.
Very
exciting. In 2013. Yeah. So the Steam Box can bring PC gaming to the TV, and they've already started laying the groundwork with the big screen app that they have right now, where you can hook up a computer to your television and use the TV screen as your display. This would be the Steam Box would be an out of the box kind of simplified computer, so that the average consumer who doesn't want to fiddle with settings or drivers or any of that stuff.
All that PC gaming things that PC gamers adore.
Yeah.
The console gamers are kind of like,
Yeah, I just want to hook it up and have it go.
Yeah.
Make it go.
Plug and play.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Steambox is going to appeal to the plug and play gamer.
Sure.
And the big advantage they have is they say, well, yeah, these other consoles do stuff well, but this is a gaming PC. It's just a gaming PC made to work on your television. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see how big a dent it can make in the gaming market, and whether or not it starts taking away market share from the other the leaders, the legacy consoles.
Right. Sure.
I don't know if it'll really take a chunk out because console gamers can be really devoted to their particular brands.
Yeah.
Nintendo fanboys.
I think. But
then we also have the Ouya. The Ouya. It was a big success story on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
They had a Kickstarter campaign to raise money. They ended up raising way more money than they needed to be able. Like I forget what their goal was, but it was something like 100-something thousand. I'm just talking random numbers here.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah,
it was like.
But it was one of those crazy Kickstarter success stories where you make 25 times, 50 times,
exactly,
1,000 times as much as you ask for.
Yeah, you said like, I want 100,000. You get 3.5 million. Like, well, then I'm going to make it that much more awesome. But yeah, the Ouya should be debuting as well. And it reminds me more of a simple streaming service. So I'm curious to see how well. And I don't mean that as a knock, but it does seem to be more about downloading games or streaming games to a console as opposed to going out and buying games and then putting them into your console and playing them.
Although, how many people are really buying games? Have you heard any numbers about how many people are downloading games these days versus buying physical discs?
I don't have the numbers. Anecdotally, I know a lot of people who are starting to do the whole digital thing because they went ahead and bought Xboxes that had those ridiculous, hard drives.
Yeah.
I don't. See, I have the hard drive that has like 2 gigabytes of space on it.
Yours goes up to 4 and mine goes up to ludicrous speed.
Yeah. So that's the problem is that I'm actually looking at buying a new hard drive for mine so that I can take advantage of that. Because I know people who do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it for multiple reasons. One, it means less clutter. They don't have to worry about having a box someplace that's taking up space. Two, it usually means that the load times are decreased significantly because everything's on the device already. It doesn't have to read the disk. But I don't know the figures. But I do expect that that number will grow in 2013. It would surprise me if it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's see. We talked about – that was kind of both of us. Do you want me to go – let me go again because I think I've got a few more than you do.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's one. I said that Intel will begin to struggle a bit because – and this is related to something we talked about earlier – because mobile is becoming increasingly important. And Intel is really in the business of making chips for desktop and laptop computers as well as for larger computers for other purposes.
Sure.
But because
industry.
Yes, exactly. But because the importance of desktops and laptops is declining, or at least desktops definitely declining, and laptops, I think you said it was going to speed up. I'm back and forth on that one.
Sure.
But I think Intel is going to see things get a little more tight for it in 2013. And so it would not surprise me to see Intel explore creating something along the lines of ARM-based microprocessors, either licensing out the ARM architecture or building something from the ground up to compete against ARM in a more aggressive way so that it can go after that mobile market. Because right now, if the mobile market is what everyone's moving toward, Intel gets left behind.
Yeah.
Okay, next turn.
Sorry, I don't have a whole lot to say about that one personally.
No, it's fine. I'm gonna go breathe into a paper bag.
I come into this. I'm all like, I get to say ridiculous things. This is so exciting. I feel like you're genuinely a little bit. Maybe I just haven't gotten the emails yet, so I haven't. So I don't know how scary it can be to make these kind of predictions.
Not at all. It's not scary at all. If you look at my record, I'm probably batting around 300. Which, you know, in baseball is not so bad. In tech predictions, not great.
What else have I got here? Another Apple thing. Apple TV. I think that's going to happen next year. I think that Apple is going to market a television that has all kinds of crazy integrated stuff in it.
This has been a prediction. I'm glad you're here to make that prediction since Chris is not here. Because that's like Chris's annual prediction is that Apple TV will come out. But I think this year, more than any other, it's likely to happen.
Yeah, I think I'm making it from, like, I'm saying it, it's a pretty safe bet. That's what basically everyone on the internet is saying is going to happen.
Yeah. And Tim Cook seems to slowly be going from, this is a hobby for us to look at, you know, the whole TV space, mm-hmm. to, this is interesting and we're not going to ignore it. And it's been subtle. It's not been like that dramatic of a change in stance, mm-hmm. but those subtle changes in the way things are worded suggests that this is becoming more and more of an actual thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So let me ask you this, just personally, Lauren, mm-hmm. no shock here, but, would you, assuming that you had the budget for it, would you want to get something like an Apple TV or even a Google TV, like any kind of net connected TV? But specifically, I think Apple and Google would be the two that are the major companies in that space.
Sure. If it were me, I would probably go for Google personally, just because it would probably be way cheaper. Very, very much. I mean,
it wouldn't be as pretty a TV though.
It would no, it would not. But you'll have to understand that the television that I currently have in my living room has tubes in it. This is.
I just heard the internet cry.
No. I know. You know what I mean, though.
No, I do know what you mean. I vaguely remember TVs that had tubes in them. I don't think I even. No, that's not true. I do own one. It's just not plugged into anything. But it's 51 inches, so
it's sitting in a corner waiting for Samara to come crawling out of it.
Mine's on wheels, actually. It really is.
Even
that's
better.
It's
no.
Enormous rear projection TV.
That's terrific. No. So this is. I mean, I'm just that is the kind of tech adopter I am. Until this thing breaks or somebody emails me $5,000, that is what I'm going to use. But if I had the opportunity and the money to, I absolutely would want something that connects up to the internet because that's what I use my Xbox for, essentially. So if I could kind of integrate that into a single thing, not that I would want to give up my Xbox because Halo is critical.
Yeah, no, let's not talk crazy talk.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
But here's the thing is that any, like, if you get a TV where there's a big company that can make huge deals with various providers, then you get a lot more options than you would through something like Xbox, where, you know, I love my Xbox and I use the connectivity stuff all the time. That's how I access Netflix
on
my main TV. I've got a Roku for my other TV and just name dropping stuff now, but I do
Brought
the same
to you
thing.
By. Yeah.
I do the same thing. And I mean, I really enjoy the services, but something that's deeply integrated into a television could be really interesting. Now, granted, it sometimes worries me too, because if it's like a partnership thing where it's an integrated partnership, you always have to worry about what happens if one of these entities goes away. But that's true of any technology. So it's not like I can't just point at TVs and say that's the flaw. That's just the way that's just the way things work.
Yeah.
From HowStuffWorks.com. And okay, so here's one of mine. E-books and e-publishing will become even more important in 2013. And electronic book sales will completely outpace hard copy books.
Yeah.
So if you look at the sales figures of books, then the sales figures for electronics are going to go beyond the sales figures for hard copy books. And for those of us out there who are literature majors, former literature majors like myself, this is both
English major. Yeah.
Sad, but also kind of awesome.
I think it's exciting. I'm kind of in the anti Ray Bradbury camp on that one. I think that it's really terrific to be able to have a thing that you can carry with you and download new books to at any given point.
I agree. I mean, nothing for me replaces the physical pleasure of holding a book and reading it.
Of course not.
That smell, the feel of the page. You know,
it's a tactile experience that you're never going to get out of a, I mean, even if you have a really nice, like I've got a, like a, this gorgeous leather and wood cover for my Kindle.
Right.
And it's great to hold. I mean, it makes you feel like you're holding a book.
Yeah.
But
on the other hand, nothing replaces the feeling of being able to carry two volumes of Game of Thrones with you on vacation and not throw your back out. So there's
so
that.
Yeah, so there's a trade-off. And yeah, I mean, especially with the sales of the Kindle and the Nook in the past year.
Yeah.
It's a pretty sure bet that everyone has access to it.
Sure bets are the only ones I make, Lauren.
Yeah.
All right, next. Do you have any more? I've got a couple more, but I don't know how many.
I've got a couple more as well.
Okay.
Prediction. Medical tech. I think that this is going to be the year that a great number of people get their genetic sequencing done. And furthermore, that health records are going to be going digital and people are going to be interacting more with them, and more with their doctors as a result. I think it's going to be a gorgeous new future of not understanding what your doctor is saying and still Googling what the heck they mean.
The nice thing, though, is we might be able to actually read the digital signatures of our doctors.
Unlikely.
I don't even know what this prescription's for.
I think they're all going to be scrawling on tablets. That part's going to be the same. So,
you know, I hold out hope. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that makes handwriting recognition software go, oh, I give up. All right, so here's one totally unrelated to that. So Zynga, the game company that's been had a real hard time in 2012.
Yeah, it was a rough year for all the they're the kids who created, of course, Words with Friends, and
they had all the Ville games.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Zynga had a meteoric rise, and then an almost as meteoric fall. Like it just we did a whole episode about Zynga, so I won't rehash everything. But Zynga's been having some real problems with, maintaining revenues. They've done some layoffs. A lot of that's been in the news. And one thing I think is a possibility, and this is my prediction, is that the board of directors for Zynga very well may explore and then execute an option to buy up as much stock as possible to convert Zynga back into a private company. Because as a publicly traded entity, Zynga has to answer to shareholders. And sometimes that can be very difficult to do and ensure the long-term success of your company. Because shareholders can, and this is not always the case, but it's often the case, shareholders can ignore long-term growth in order to get short-term benefits.
In favor of trends or the immediate.
Like they just want a quick fix, which might in the long term hurt the company rather than watch these slow investments be made so that, you know, they might be the right choices, but it could take 2-3 years for it to really turn around. For shareholders, that can be a long, long time. And so some companies, it benefits them to remain a private company because then they can make these decisions and it's a smaller group of shareholders and you don't have to worry about catering to everyone's needs. So I think that that's a possibility. We might see Zynga go back to being a private company in 2013.
Yeah, I like it. The last one that I have written down is basically a non-prediction. My prediction is that nothing will happen with HTML5 in 2013.
Right.
Ta-da!
So just essentially it's like a plateau of development. So
yes,
it's
yes.
not that no one's
not
going
that
to
nothing is going to happen with it. Lots of things are going to be happening. Nothing is going to happen in the public. No one is going to be
We're not going to have
integrating
this,
it and adopting it.
Yeah, it's not going to be finished essentially.
Yes.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, there have been some problems with HTML5, and I don't see that changing really in 2013. All right, so I've got two more that I want to go over. I had three, but cyber warfare is a gimme, so I'm not going to do that one. So this is one that I thought of, and it kind of plays into some of the other stuff we talked about. I think there are going to be some companies that look into designing technology that is specifically intended to be a second screen experience, meaning that when we're watching television, that's our primary screen.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of us, myself included, will have a secondary screen open, whether it's a laptop or a tablet or even a smartphone, a lot of us tend to have
most of us are multitasking
thing.
While we are watching TV these days.
Right.
It's not enough to watch TV, but
which means that I can often miss incredibly important parts of whatever it is I'm watching and then look up and say, where's that guy? What do you mean he's dead? When did he die? What do you mean 2 minutes ago?
This is why you shouldn't watch during, I'm assuming you're talking about Walking Dead.
I was talking about Supernatural,
oh.
Which really one of the two brothers is perpetually, spoiler alert, either dead or in hell. That's really your two options. Or about to die, or about to go to hell. That's, you know, one of those things are definitely happening to one of the two brothers in that show.
That show is all Jonathan, by the way. I've not watched any of it.
But I enjoy it.
This
anyway,
is a different discussion. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we won't talk about the documentary series Supernatural. I think there are going to be companies that make technology specifically with the intent of making it a second screen. Now, a lot of people are using existing technology to do this, and a lot of apps are coming out that are helping out with this.
Helping to integrate the two experiences.
Yeah, like Smart Glass again. That's another example.
Right.
But there are other apps out there. I mean, Netflix has apps. I mean, there's tons of apps out there. But I think there are going to be companies that say, this is something that people are really interested in. What if we designed from the ground up a product that's intended immediately to be a second screen? And that could take any form factor. I'm not predicting the form factor. I'm not predicting the operating system. I'm just saying there's going to be companies out there that say, let's build the definitive second screen because everyone's doing this. So let's make a specialized product.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense to me. If I had the capital, I would totally have gone into that because I'd be like, I can build this company up, sell it to someone else, and gravy train, baby. So that's my prediction for that. And then, my final prediction, this is one that I believe Lauren might disagree with me on because of something we said in our pre-show. I said that 2013 is going to mark the peak and then decline and into a plateau of crowdfunding. And crowdfunding, we saw a lot of crowdfunding in 2012. I think 2013 we're going to see even more of it. We're going to see startup companies appeal directly to average citizens saying, this is an idea I had. So for example, I might say, I have this idea for the perfect second screen device.
Yeah.
And, but I need starting capital. So I start up
put it up on Kickstarter.
Yeah,
or
Kickstarter, Indiegogo or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it up there and then, ask for funds. We've already seen companies like, we've seen the Ouya, we saw the Pebble smartwatch thing. Lots of tech has come through Kickstarter and, received successful funding through it. Some of them we haven't necessarily seen the outcome yet. We're kind of still waiting on it. But I think what's going to happen is we're going to see that continue in 2013, hit a peak, and then I think people are going to start getting a little burnt out by it just from the idea of, well, you know what? I've already funded like five of these things. I am done for now. And even if something really cool comes along, I think that people will get burnt out by funding various projects, especially if these projects are slow to come to completion.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
A lot of this will depend upon how well companies can deliver upon
their
promises.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I think I think people are not done with crowdsourcing yet, and I think that enough people are excited. I mean, you know, I'm not sure if it's right for everything, but I don't think it's going anywhere in 2013. I mean, I'm currently looking at a book project that some webcomic artists put together. The To Be or Not to Be, That Is the Adventure, the Choose Your Own Adventure book that Ryan North of Dinosaur Comics put together.
Does it mean you can be Hamlet and not die?
Yes.
Wow.
It means you can be Ophelia and not die. It means you can be Ophelia and like ride velociraptors.
Can you be Ophelia and get to a nunnery?
I can only assume that that's going to be an option. But this, they had a $20,000 goal and have raised $500,000 at this point.
Wow.
And it is, I mean, I do think that there's a terrible divide in these crowdfunding sources where you're either Amanda Palmer and you make $1 million.
Right.
Or you're
Jonathan Strickland and your project doesn't fund.
And your project doesn't fund.
That's not bitterness, by the way. I truly am not bitter.
Yeah, maybe this prediction of yours is coming from a place of bitterness and sorrow, Jonathan.
It could be.
I
mean, you know, everything's subjective, right? I mean, we view the world through our own individual lenses. And I would like to think I'm objective, but so would everybody else. And we all know that's not true.
No, I
That's a fair point.
I'm hoping that people will start paying more attention to the people who genuinely need startup capital. I think I would really love to see places like Kickstarter revise their contracts, their user contracts,
right,
to make it more possible for the little guy to actually get funding.
And maybe make it a little harder for something like Penny Arcade no offense against the Penny Arcade guys.
Absolutely none. We love you. Please don't kill us.
But to use Kickstarter so that you don't have to run ads on your site for a year, based upon what Kickstarter was founded upon, just seems like it's a mismatch, right? Because
sure,
Kickstarter was really about kickstarting projects. Now, ultimately, Kickstarter approved that project. So I don't fault the Penny Arcade guys at all. I mean, they were trying something new, and they're trying to reward their loyal audience. All of that is awesome.
Yeah.
It just seemed like Kickstarter was the wrong tool for the job based upon Kickstarter's founding statement. And
yeah,
so, it just seems to be a disconnect there. So it wasn't that I objected to the fact that they were trying to get away from running ads. I object to using a tool, and this really falls, again, more on Kickstarter than anything else, using a tool in a way that it was not necessarily intended, or at least the way it was projected out to the public.
Right.
You know, so that was the big, but I would like to see more grassroots projects,
yeah,
get that kind of funding. And again, no,
yeah,
slight against the Amanda Palmers and the Penny Arcades in the world.
They deserve every bit of success that they have gotten.
But you do worry that that might take
might lead
away
to some kind of burnout.
Right.
And
yeah, it could take away from projects that have no way of making it.
Right.
You know, and there's no avenue of success, yeah, for the person who is trying. And it could be that it's something that we would all benefit from.
Yeah.
Or at
so,
least enjoy.
Yeah, maybe I'm just the optimist and Jonathan is the pessimist, and that is what is going on opposite sides of this table right now.
I don't think the glass is half full or half empty. I think it's dirty. It's a dirty glass. Well, I think that wraps up this discussion. So in order to conclude, let's just say we will revisit these predictions at the end of 2013 and see how we did. And
exactly how wrong we were.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys can tune in then and hear us keep score. And if you guys have any suggestions for future episode topics, I highly recommend you write us. You can send us an email. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com, or you can get in touch with us over Facebook or Twitter. Our handle at both those locations is TechStuffHSW. And Lauren and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.